This episode is entirely AI-generated, including the voices you're hearing. We're sponsored by Flow State Analytics, a fictional productivity tracking tool that claims to optimize your workflow patterns through behavioral micro-insights. And please double-check any important details we discussed today, since some information might be hallucinated. I'm Marcus. And today I'm diving into jobs to be done theory with Elena Rodriguez, who's been applying this framework in fintech for the past 6 years. Elena, what first drew you to jobs to be done?
I stumbled into it out of frustration, honestly. I was working at a payment startup and we kept building features our users said they wanted, but adoption was terrible. Someone recommended Clayton Christensen's work and it clicked. The idea that people don't buy products, they hire them to do a job, it completely reframed how I thought about user research. Instead of asking what features they wanted, I started asking what progress they were trying to make.
That's interesting because I come at this from more of a theoretical angle. I've been studying how frameworks migrate across disciplines, and jobs to be done is fascinating because it emerged from business strategy but now shows up everywhere. What strikes me is how it claims to be this universal lens for understanding human behavior, but it's rooted in very specific assumptions about consumer choice and market dynamics.
Right, and that tension plays out constantly in practice. The theory sounds clean: identify the job, understand the outcome the customer wants, design the solution. But real user behavior is messy. In fintech especially, people's relationships with money are so emotional and contextual. Sometimes the job they're hiring your product for isn't the one they'll admit to themselves.
That's a perfect entry point into what I want to dig into, because jobs to be done theory has evolved quite a bit since Christensen's original formulation. There are different schools of thought now. Some focus more on the functional job, the literal task someone needs accomplished. Others emphasize the emotional and social dimensions. How do you navigate that in practice?
I found you need both, but the functional job is usually your anchor. Take expense management. The functional job might be track my business spending for taxes. But there's also an emotional job around feeling in control of finances. The social job might be appearing professional to your accountant or not looking disorganized to your business partner. All three matter. But if you don't solve the functional job first, the others become irrelevant.
That hierarchy you're describing, is that something the framework explicitly teaches, or is that your interpretation based on experience?
That's a good question. I think it's more my adaptation. The academic literature doesn't always give you clear prioritization rules for when these dimensions conflict.
And that points to something I've been thinking about. How much of jobs to be done is actually a framework versus a mindset shift? Because the practical tools seem pretty thin. You've got job stories instead of user stories, outcome-driven innovation interviews, maybe some journey mapping. But compared to something like design thinking with its 5 stages and specific methods, it feels more like a lens than a methodology.
I'd push back on that a bit. In my experience, the lens is actually the most powerful part. The specific techniques matter, but the mindset shift from features to progress is what transforms how teams work. For jobs to be done, our product discussions were all about capabilities. Can we build a budgeting tool? Should we add investment tracking? After, we started with the job and worked backwards to the solution.
But doesn't that create its own blind spots? I'm thinking about how the framework emerged from studying successful innovations, which creates a kind of survivorship bias. If you're always starting with an assumed job to be done, might you miss entirely new categories of human need, or situations where the real opportunity is creating a job that didn't exist before?
That's actually something I've wrestled with in mobile product development. Sometimes the most successful features are ones that create new behaviors rather than optimizing existing ones. Like, nobody had a job for endless scrolling through social feeds before smartphones existed. That job was created by the medium itself.
Exactly. And this gets to what I think is a deeper issue with how jobs to be done handles innovation versus optimization. The framework seems much stronger for improving existing categories than for breakthrough innovation.
I'm not sure I fully agree with that framing. Even with social media, you could argue people always had jobs around social connection, staying informed about their community, entertainment during downtime. What changed wasn't the underlying jobs, but the context and constraints. Smartphones removed friction and made these jobs accessible in new situations.
Okay, but that feels like retrofitting the theory to explain outcomes it didn't predict. If the jobs were always there, why didn't jobs to be done thinking lead to social media innovation? Why did it come from technologists experimenting with new capabilities?
That's a fair point. Maybe the framework is better at explaining innovation after the fact than predicting it beforehand. But is that necessarily a weakness? In fintech, I'm rarely trying to invent entirely new categories. I'm trying to serve existing jobs better than incumbent solutions. For that use case, starting with the job works really well.
And maybe that points to something important about when and where different frameworks are useful. But I want to dig deeper into the theoretical foundations because I think there are some assumptions worth examining. Jobs to be done assumes people are fairly rational actors who can articulate their desired outcomes. But behavioral economics shows us that people often don't know what they want, or they want contradictory things.
Oh, I see this constantly. People will tell you they want better budgeting tools, but then they won't use the budgeting features you build. There's clearly something more complex happening. I've started thinking the real job might be feeling like they could budget if they wanted to, without actually having to confront their spending patterns.
That's a perfect example of what I'm getting at. The stated job and the actual job diverge. But then how do you operationalize the framework? Do you trust what people say or what they do?
In practice, I've learned to focus more on behavior than stated preferences. I'll ask about the last time they tried to solve this problem, what they tried, where it broke down. The stories people tell about their struggles are usually more revealing than their feature requests.
But even there, aren't you still relying on people's ability to accurately recall and interpret their own motivations? There's a lot of research suggesting people construct post hoc narratives that may not reflect their actual decision-making process.
True, but what's the alternative? Every framework for understanding user needs has to grapple with the gap between stated and revealed preferences. At least jobs to be done pushes you to look at behavior in context rather than just asking hypothetical questions about what someone might want.
Fair enough. And I suppose the question is whether it's directionally helpful, even if it's not perfectly accurate. But I want to push on another assumption, the idea that there's a stable, identifiable job to be done. What if the job itself is contextual and constantly shifting? Your financial management needs when you're a freelancer versus a salaried employee versus a small business owner. Are those different jobs or the same job with different constraints?
I've actually been thinking about this a lot lately. We started with what we thought was one job, managing business expenses. But as we studied different user segments, it became clear the jobs were quite different. Freelancers are mainly trying to minimize tax headaches. Small business owners want to understand cash flow. Consultants need to bill clients accurately. Same surface level activity, totally different success criteria.
And that raises a methodological question. How do you know when you've identified the right level of specificity? You could keep subdividing until every person has their own unique job.
Right, and we've definitely made that mistake. Early on, we got so granular that every user interview seemed to reveal a new job. You need some level of abstraction to build a scalable product.
So how do you find that balance? What's your heuristic for knowing when you've hit the right level?
Honestly, it's still pretty intuitive. I look for patterns where the core progress people are trying to make feels similar, even if their contexts differ. But I'm realizing as we talk that this might be a fundamental limitation of the framework. The level of abstraction feels somewhat arbitrary.
That's interesting because it suggests the framework might work better as a thinking tool than as a rigorous analytical method. Which brings me to something I've been curious about. In your experience, does jobs to be done actually lead to measurably better product outcomes, or is it more valuable for how it shapes team conversations and decision-making?
That's hard to isolate because I've never done a controlled experiment, but I can say our feature adoption rates improved significantly after we started using this approach. Whether that's causation or just correlation with other changes we were making, better user research in general, smaller feature releases, I honestly can't say for sure.
And that points to a broader challenge with evaluating any product development framework. The outcomes depend so much on execution, team dynamics, market timing. But let me ask about the team dynamics piece, because that might be where the real value lies. How does framing discussions around jobs change how product teams work together?
Definitely shifts the conversation from internal capabilities to external value. Instead of asking, what can we build? The question becomes, what progress are we helping people make? That sounds like consultant speak, but it genuinely changes how engineers and designers approach problems. They start thinking more about outcomes and less about features.
Interesting. So maybe the framework's main value is organizational rather than analytical. It gives teams a shared language and focuses attention on user value.
Maybe, but I think there's analytical value too. The job stories format has been really useful for communicating product requirements. When I'm reviewing monthly expenses, I want to quickly identify unusual charges so I can dispute errors before the deadline. That captures context, motivation, and success criteria in a way that traditional user stories often miss.
Okay, but playing devil's advocate, couldn't you get similar benefits from other approaches? Behavioral design principles, user journey mapping, outcome-based OKRs?
Probably, yeah. I don't think jobs to be done is uniquely powerful, but it does bundle several useful concepts together in a coherent framework. The job outcome constraint model gives you a structure for thinking through user needs systematically. That's valuable, even if other approaches could work too.
Maybe that's the honest way to evaluate any framework. Not whether it's uniquely correct, but whether it's useful enough to justify the cognitive overhead of learning and applying it. Which brings me to something I'm genuinely curious about. Where do you think jobs to be done goes from here? Is it still evolving, or has it reached a steady state?
I think it needs to evolve, especially around the behavioral psychology piece we talked about earlier. The current framework assumes too much rationality and self-awareness. I'd love to see more integration with research on cognitive biases, emotional decision-making, subconscious motivations. That could make the framework more realistic about how people actually behave.
That's interesting because it suggests moving away from the clean simplicity that makes the framework appealing. There's always this tension between usefulness and accuracy in applied frameworks.
True, but I think the framework could handle more complexity without losing its core insight. The idea of jobs as units of analysis is still powerful, even if the execution gets more nuanced.
What about the technological context? You mentioned mobile earlier. Does the framework need updating for AI, voice interfaces, ambient computing?
Good question. I think the jobs might be more granular in those contexts. With voice, you're often trying to accomplish microtasks without breaking flow. The job might be as specific as add milk to my shopping list while cooking dinner. But the fundamental logic still applies. Understand the progress people are trying to make in context.
Although that raises another question about whether the framework scales down to micro-interactions. At some point, does thinking about jobs become more overhead than insight?
Maybe. I've definitely seen teams over-apply it to trivial design decisions. You don't need a jobs-to-be-done analysis for button placement.
Right. And that suggests the framework works best for medium to high-level product decisions. Feature prioritization, user flow design, market positioning.
Exactly. It's most valuable when you're trying to understand what problem you're solving and for whom. Less useful for optimizing how you solve it.
Okay, so as we wrap up, let me ask, what's your current relationship with the framework? Are you still a true believer or more of a pragmatic user?
Definitely more pragmatic. I think it's a useful tool that works well in certain contexts, but I don't think it's the universal truth about innovation that some proponents claim. I use it alongside other approaches, depending on what questions I'm trying to answer.
And I think our conversation has pushed me in a similar direction. I started somewhat skeptical of the theoretical foundations, but I can see how it provides practical value, even if it's not theoretically rigorous. The question isn't whether it perfectly describes human behavior, but whether it helps teams make better product decisions.
Right, and maybe that's the right standard for any applied framework. Does it move you toward better outcomes more often than not?
Although that still leaves the question of how you'd measure that. Better outcomes according to whom? Users, businesses, society?
And now we're back to the fundamental challenges of product development. No framework can solve the problem of competing stakeholder interests.
True, but maybe the most honest conclusion is that jobs to be done is one useful lens among many, with specific strengths and limitations that teams should understand.
I can live with that. It's a good thinking tool that shouldn't be anyone's only thinking tool.
And the biggest risk is probably treating any framework as gospel rather than as a prompt for better questions.
Absolutely. The moment you stop questioning your assumptions about user needs is the moment you start building the wrong things.
Lena, this has been really illuminating. I think I understand both the appeal and the limitations much better now.
Same here. Thanks for pushing on the theoretical foundations. It's made me more thoughtful about when and how I apply the framework.